You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of God. Great to be here. Why don't we turn around, greet everybody on online. All right, there are people listening online from a number of different places. We greet you. We welcome you to our service. Let's start by just taking a moment to pray, all right? And I really want to pray for your heart. So if you can just close your eyes, maybe even put your hands on your heart. And just for a moment, let the presence of God come on you. I don't know where your heart is, what's happening in your heart, but God can heal the heart. He can transform it. He can touch you. So Father, today we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will come upon each one of us here and also online, that the presence of God will come, and we need healing, heal our heart. Oh God, we need an awakening with you. Awaken our heart. Just release your power and grace upon us, God, that we may be so strong, so healthy, so filled with joy and happiness deep within our heart. Take away the things that are weights, that are grieving us, that are troubling us, God. Jesus, you spoke of an anointing that will heal the broken heart. And I release and speak that anointing upon our hearts. Even all of you listening on online, I pray that presence will be there in your room, in your home, and it brings such healing to your heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, please be seated. All right. By the prayer, you know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk of your heart, all right? And I have a question. Where is your heart today? What is the condition of your heart? We may know the condition of external things. I'm asking you an internal question. What is the condition of your heart? We live in a world that is very easily distracted. Very, very good at avoiding any issue that is a bit awkward. And we never really take a moment to stop and say, where is our heart? And I pray today that will be your moment where you can let the Spirit of God and let the word I'm going to bring to you check your heart, check where you are and what's happening in your heart. I'm going to start by taking you to the Bible, to James chapter 1 and verse 21. And there's a very interesting statement given in verse 21. It says, "And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Receive with meekness. It's not just talking about the word of God, the salvation of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, not just talking about the word, but it's saying receive with meekness. Meekness is an attitude. Meekness talks of the condition of the heart. And he's saying, don't just receive the word, make sure your heart is in a position, in a state, an emotional state, where there is meekness in your heart. I think he's implying that quite often we try to receive with pride in our heart, because pride is the opposite of meekness, with arrogance, with a sense of, I know better. No, you don't. God knows better about you than you know about yourself. And so he's telling you to come with this meekness of heart. And if you do come with a heart in a right condition, then not only do you hear the word, you actually get an implanted word. An implanted word is a word that comes and becomes a part of your life. Now in Kingdom City, and you see this in the gospel, Jesus did a lot of teaching, told a lot of parables. A huge part of the ministry of Jesus was teaching, answering questions, because he was trying to change our worldview and our belief system. So much of our belief system comes from our broken life and our rejected perspective. And he's saying, that's not true. I know you think it's true. I know that's what you feel, but that's not true. I've got something better for you. And Jesus used parables. Jesus used stories to help us shift our mind. But that only works if you come with meekness in your heart. So the word doesn't just become an intellectual word that you use in the cleverness of your logic, but the word becomes a word that actually gets implanted into your heart. By the way, the word heart in the New Testament speaks of the core of your being. It's not just your heart. It speaks of the core of your being. It includes your mind, includes your spirit. And God goes, if you come with that internal attitude, the word gets implanted in your mind. Now, if I will show you what Paul says about us and the way we think and the way we struggle, it might be a little bit offensive, this statement, all right? Definitely, it will deflate your ego. Is that okay? All right? Because so often, we think more highly of ourselves. All right? We may think, well, let me put it this way. You're not as smart as you think you are. And you're not as good looking as you think. Oh, sorry, I should have said that. All right. All right. We're full of ourselves. All right. But Paul shows us through his writing something about the way we think. I'm going to take you to Ephesians 4, verse 17. And Paul is speaking to us and he says, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of your heart." So he describes us, and we may not like his description. You may even be offended when I'm reading it here, because you think, "Hey, I'm better than this." But maybe Paul is talking of the condition of your heart. We can be numb to it, or we can completely ignore it, but why don't you just look at it, all right? He's saying, "I testify." Testify means it has been proven in my life. I'm not just talking about it. This has been proven in my life. You know, we talked about today being the last day to sign up for Greenhouse. By the way, Greenhouse is our equipping arm, I suppose. Equipping, training, teaching. In some sense, it's a ministry arm because people get healed, marriages get restored. So it's a ministry arm as well. And we do it throughout the year. And we have 8 different courses, and you can do any of that. I know we had that very, very interesting video, all right? I'm glad this is the last time you're going to see it. But anyway, there are all those different... I know we look funny on that advert, but actually they're brilliant guys who testify to the Word. That means it is their life, all right? They actually walk that journey and they learn that journey and they're just beginning to release and give it to you. My question is not what we teach in Greenhouse, is how do you receive it? How are you going to receive it? Is it going to be an implanted word? Oh, it's just a word you go, really nice, and then you forget all about it. It never makes a difference in your life at all. You want the Word to transform you. You want the Word to transform you so much it impacts your children and impacts your grandchildren. So it is actually a generational transformation when truth comes into our life and we embrace it and allows it to change our life. It will generationally impact the way we do it. In other words, I'm saying, if you're not doing it for yourself, at least do it for your kids, your poor kids, all right? Please do it for them, or please do it for your grandkids because they need a better dad. Sorry. They need a better mom. They need a better granddad. And you want to be the best. Of course, we want to be the best in that. But Paul begins to tell us here, he says, "I testify to this." He says, "You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles." The word Gentile can be translated here in this context as people who have no relationship with God, all right? They had no encounter with God, no relationship. So that's okay. They had no connection with God, but you did, all right? You found Jesus. You understood the gospel. God came into your life. You had an encounter. You had a vision. You had a dream. You had a moment where God touched you. So you are a different person. You cannot be walking like someone who did not know Christ at all. You have that. He said, because when you did not have this encounter with God, he says, what do? You try to do this in the futility of your mind. What he actually means, when you look at the word, the word actually talks of a hopelessness, all right? You just go, "I've tried everything. I don't know what to do with my marriage, all right? I tried everything. I give up." That's what he's talking about, all right? But then God comes and brings you clarity of how to deal with the issues. You see, that's what God is saying. If you come with a meekness, I begin to speak. All right? So people can be struggling because you got a son or a daughter and things have happened and the relationship has broken. And you go, what do I do? All right? That's the futility of mind. I've got nothing. All right? I tried everything, the hopelessness there. Understanding, having their understanding darkened. That means they lost a clarity to understand the world. So many times we try to deal the world by trying to do something to change it. But life is actually more than that. It's also your emotions, it's your thinking, it's the way you relate to God that brings answers and solutions into our life. It cannot just be trying to do something. We are holistic people, and our spirit, our mind, our emotion, everything needs to be brought into alignment. And so often we are darkened in the area. We just cannot see the way. We have no way out of something that's happening in your life. It could be a financial, it could be a work environment, it could be business, it could be relationship. And you just go, I got nothing. It's just all dark here. That's what he's talking about. All right? He's talking of ignorance. All right? We think we know, like I said just now. We think we know more than we think we know, but you actually don't know. All right? There you are. You have to have a wisdom that transcends human wisdom. If human wisdom was so good, we shouldn't have the problems we're having. Because humans trying to help humans are limited in our wisdom. I'm not saying your mind is bad. I think you're very smart. I think education is good. I think you should read. I think you should study. But there is a wisdom that transcends, that is greater, that comes from a spiritual force, comes from God, comes by the Spirit, comes through Jesus Christ, that brings such a clarity, such an intelligence, such an understanding that you cannot find. That's what he's referring to. And the last term he used, the blindness of their heart. Think about it. Your heart can be so blind. That means emotional, the emotional filters of rejection, of pain, of hurt, of history, of abuse, of neglect, bring a blindness to our heart that we cannot see the way we should see in our life. These are all real things. And you and I have been through it, all right? Many times our heart has been blind. Not our mind, but our heart. That means I know what is the right thing, but I don't want to do it. Either because I'm fearful, either because I'm hurt, either because I'm angry, my heart won't let me. My mind says, come on, you know what to do. And you go, no, I'm not going to do it. Because the fear grips me, the shame holds me down, all right? The emotions can be so powerful in the human spirit, it can hold you down that you never move on in the things of God. Now, I just took that verses to show you that the condition of our mind and heart can be in such a place. And God is coming into that life, that mind, that heart, that relationship, that marriage, and he's trying to bring the word to you. The way we do it in Kingdom City is we have our greenhouse, as I explained just now, and we have a number of courses. You can go and check it out. And for those of you signing up, this will really get you ready before you start doing greenhouse, all right? To get your heart ready for the revelation, the truth, the teaching, the ministry, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, so you want your heart to be ready for it. You don't want to come with this mind confused, or darkness, or separated from God, or ignorance, or blindness. Then you go through the whole year and you go, I got nothing out of it. But it was not the word that was lacking. It was the heart that was not able to embrace and implant the word. So you have to ask, what is the condition of my mind? Or sorry, my heart. I love the way Jesus explains it. In this story, most of you know this story, it's the parable of the sower and the four different kinds of soil. Very, very easy to understand. Any basic understanding in farming or gardening, you get it, all right? And the basic truth is you put a seed, but the quality of the plant or the fruitfulness of whatever you planted is dependent on the soil. You can have good seed and bad soil, and plant will die. Or there'll be no fruit. Or there'll be poor quality fruit. And then you go, what's wrong? I've got good seed. Well, the seed is good because the sower is God and he's releasing truth, revelation, understanding, light, clarity. He's giving you answers for all your... That means everything God gives is the opposite of what we read. He's giving it. That's what Jesus is. A sower comes and he throws the seed. He throws the seed, but what do you do with the seed? So often we have a lack of understanding how God does this. We pray and we want God to give you an answer. What God gives you is he gives you a seed. You go, I want an answer. In other words, he gives you a promise. And if you can nurture that promise, it will grow and bear much fruit. Does that make sense? Another way of looking at it, it's like a woman who conceives and becomes pregnant. She receives a seed, she doesn't receive a baby. There is a season until in the fullness of time, the seed has grown to the baby and she has a full baby. Does that make sense? It starts with a seed. We get upset with God. We go, we pray and pray and pray, and God didn't answer. He did. He gave you seeds. He gave you prophetic promises. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you some truths in greenhouse. You went to Connect Group and Pastor Mark taught some excellent things. God is always giving seed. He's always throwing it in abundance, in generosity. He's bringing his wisdom and understanding. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is with the heart, the ground. All right? If you don't deal with the ground, as it gets wasted, which is really, really sad, because it's words and revelation and truth and understanding that's coming from the heart of your Father in heaven. All right? So with all his heart, he gives you. He knows what you're going through. He loves you. He wants to step into your life and help you. So he's giving you these revelations. But we don't know how to keep that truth, that and implant that truth in our life. Matthew 3 tells us this. Let's look at it. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured it. All right? Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because of that, no root, they withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I like the way Jesus puts the end statement. He who has ears to hear. And you go, of course, I've got ears. You know, you get offended with what he's saying. But actually he's saying, he whose heart is ready to hear. He who's hungry. He is desperate. He who's saying, God, I'm at the end of myself. I don't know what to do. And he's coming with such a receptive heart, meekness, as we said just now. He says, you will get it. You will get it instantly because of the way you come. So you can do greenhouse courses and the lecturers are amazing. I'm one of them, so there you go. All right, the lecturers are good, all right? Think about it. You got Shane Willard, you got Martin Steele, you got David Story, you got Pastor Mark Warrigis, all right? You got Mike Conley, all masters in their own area, all living what they're talking. You know that. That's their story, all right? And they probably... their lives were broken before they learned these lessons. I can say that for myself, all right? How God broke my life. So I'm not speaking from some heady knowledge. I'm speaking from a broken life that God came and healed. I know what I'm talking about. I can testify to that journey, all right? In what? So these words come to us. These words that are amazing, this teaching. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to handle it? What we think is intellectual. No, it's not an intellectual word. It's a transforming word. It's a word that must come and be implanted in your heart. And therefore, today, you must ask the question, what's the condition of my heart? And he gives you four different descriptions. Anyone who likes gardening, I do. Anyone who likes gardening will understand immediately because you know you have to take care of the soil before you can actually plant. All right? So the first group he's talking about is the one by the wayside. So let's talk about the seed by the wayside. In another translation or another, in the next gospel, you find it is the word, he talks about the path. that some of the seed fell on the path where people walk. And for some of you, that is your life. Your story is where people trampled upon your heart. All right? People come from broken backgrounds, abuse backgrounds, painful backgrounds. We can have issues with our children or children with their parents. And you feel the trust was broken. You feel the pain is so impossible to bear. You know what we do when we go through seasons like that? We try to help ourselves by saying, I will never trust again. And that's what he's talking about. Suddenly the heart shut down. Suddenly the heart built a wall, all right? No one's coming in. I'm going to keep this wall because I will not trust again. And some of you have been hurt by church. That's a fact. People can get hurt by church. And you go, I'm not going to trust Kingdom City because I was hurt by church. Yeah, that's the truth. Let's be real, it happens. Some of you are being hurt by family. Some of you are hurt, moms and dads, you're hurt by your sons and daughters, right? Or you're hurt with circumstances that were extremely painful, destructive, and you just couldn't handle it. And your only coping mechanism was to make a promise to yourself, I will never trust or share or open or ask for help. I will never do that. That's actually quite natural response. But the point about this is the moment you make that decision, you have shut God and His grace and His supernatural love and power to heal you. You cannot build a wall and say, I only want the good and I don't want the bad. You build a wall, everything is shut up. And God is actually saying, that's what I'm talking about. It's not that I'm not giving you seed. I know you were hurt. I know you were broken. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were rejected. Maybe you were abandoned. There are stories. Every one of us have stories of pain. And God is saying, but can you not come with that hard ground? Because when I give you the favor and the blessing and the revelation and the healing, it's like falling on hard ground. It's so easy for the enemy to snatch it. You get nothing. And you go one more circle, one more year, one more time. And he's talking of the condition of that crown. Is that who you are? Right? Is that where you're sitting? When you look at your heart, you go, yes, that's me. I actually did say I'll never trust. It is very, very common if you were hurt or abused as a child. The child not being able to cope with the trauma makes an inner promise, sometimes an inner vow, and says, I will never tell that story to anyone. And they move it from the conscious world to the unconscious world to a point they almost forget what happened. But the distrust is still there. Does that make sense? They're still distrusting, but they don't know why anymore they behave that way. That's what God is talking about. Let's look at the second one. The second one where God says, I'm giving seed, is on stony places. All right? Are you stony? This one's a bit deceptive. So listen carefully. This one's a bit deceptive. Because it says, when they heard the word, when you heard somebody tell you, hey, actually, this is how you can work on your marriage, or this is how you can heal your relationship with your son, you went, wow, that was so good. That's really good. And you were happy, you were excited. Or you heard a word that says, this is, and hope came and joy came. You go, oh, excited. But because you are mixed, you realize you're mixed. You got a bit of good soil and just a little bit lower, it's stones. All right? And you think, I'm okay. I'm all right. I come to church. I serve. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know? We're good at putting on our little performance. All right? Conference, I'm excited. Please be excited about conference. It's good to be excited. All right? And all that. But then, when things get hard, all right? In fact, verse 21 says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There's no sustaining power. There's no ability to work through the journey. You received it with joy, that amazing word. And the moment things got hard, the moment things got difficult, you abandoned it. Now, if I use the illustration I used just now, as a woman that's pregnant, she can't go halfway and go, I don't want to be pregnant. All right? You have to finish. There's a time. There's a season. And in healing, healing of your heart, in healing of your family, in healing of your marriage, there's a season. It doesn't happen in a moment. Because that maturity, that transformation must take place. All right? You can't come, and people do this, you can't come and say, Pastor, can you pray for our marriage? Pray that God give us a good marriage. I'm afraid I can't. All right? If you're sick, I can pray for you because you're asking for freedom in Jesus' name. I can't pray and say, let this husband become a matured man now in Jesus' name. All right? I wish I could. I would pray for myself every day if that was possible. But I can't. I have to work. I have to take the principles and I have to let it transform my life, my attitude, my behavior, my words, and change the way I approach my wife or talk to my wife is here, so I'm doing all the wife thing now. All right. And the way I talk to her and the way I respond to her, so that, and it takes a season. Doesn't happen in a day, doesn't happen in a week. Sometimes it takes years to start building and bringing back trust and connection and communication. But I have to apply the principles. But if my heart is hardened, my heart is stony, there's stones there, then I reject it. And it's easy to have stones and not realize it because the top layer looks good. That's the thing. That's why I say it's a bit deceptive. The top layer good. You know, when I come to church, I'm good. How many of you are good when you come to church? It's only when you go home, everything happens. All right? Everything go wrong. When I'm in church, I'm good. All right? I'm happy. I'm great. Then why? It's only the top layer. You haven't really gone to the depth. And there are stones. There are issues there. I got up this morning to pray. And I knew exactly why God woke me up early. It was almost like He was saying, don't you dare preach that message until you look into your heart. You are not going to preach that. And I went out and I sat on the lounge and I looked at my heart and I saw things in my heart that were so deceptive. I saw things in my heart that I was too proud about and I thought I was pretty good in that area. I saw things in my heart that was sinful. I saw things in my heart that were very judgmental. And I stood there and of course I had to take that stones out and I had to admit it and I had to confess to God and I had to acknowledge. I had to speak it out and say, God, when you tell me about that, I acknowledge this. You have to pull the stones out, because if you don't pull the stone out, the word won't get implanted. The word doesn't get implanted, you won't get the answer you're looking for. You have to allow that journey and be transparent, be open, be vulnerable, and be real. You can't go, I'm a pastor, that means I'm good. No, 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 you're not. Trust me, you're not. All right? We pastors also have to search our heart, and we find things in our heart and look at that journey and begin to do that. All right? So we can have a very superficial Christian life. Oh, dear. All right. This is really going in, all right? We have very superficial Christian life, but it doesn't go into the depth. It doesn't transform. And you know what? It doesn't bring fruitfulness. It doesn't bring fruitfulness. And we have to look. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe your words are very negative. And we think that's okay. Actually, the Bible has a problem with that. On one side, you're praising God. On another side, you're cursing somebody. And so with the same mouth, you praise God and you attack people. That's a stone. That's a stone. I know you. I know what you say. You say, that's just me, Pastor. This is me. That's my personality. Just got to accept me, lah. That's who I am. All right? Or some of you struggle with anger and you get angry and go, that's just me. Why can't you just accept me? Yeah, I get angry and scream and shout. That's okay. No, it's not you. It's a deception. It's not you. If the Bible says you were made in the image and likeness of God, that means it's not you. It's something that is in you, but it's foreign to who you are in Christ. I need to acknowledge and recognize and keep removing it until it's no more part of my lifestyle. It may take a while. It may take some help. I may need to go to Connect Group and ask someone to pray for me. And you say, I don't go to Connect Group. Well, maybe you should go to Connect Group, because you probably need to come in humility and say, would you help me? You know why we don't want to ask someone to help me? Because of pride. All right? Because I have to tell somebody I got a problem. You know, I dress up so well, so Gaia. You know, I stand in church, I mean, it's so good. And, that, and then you want me to go and tell them I'm struggling with porn. Oh, wow, here we go. All right. It's terrible, you know. I take so much trouble with my image and you want me to confess. But that is how you remove the stones. Because now you not only have an addiction stone, you got pride stone as well. All right, you got more stones than you realize. You'll be surprised. If you let God search your heart, you see things. You won't like it, but removing it, acknowledging it, confessing it, getting one another to pray for you begins to bring your heart to such a healthy place. Your life, your marriage, your past, that's bad, it's good fruit. And the days later, you will see your sons and daughters serving God. You see your grandkids coming, walking with you. You will rejoice on that day that you took the trouble to remove the stones, all right? It is worth it, absolutely worth it to deal with these areas of our life. Then the next one, he talks about seed among thorns, all right? So you got stony or tawny? Tawny. What are you, stony or tawny? Turn to the person beside you and say, what are you, stony or tawny, all right? Don't answer if you don't want to answer, all right? If this message is getting to your heart, just look at me. Don't look at her. Just look at me, all right? right? Sometimes it gets a bit personal. But the thorns are this. The thorns are what is from outside getting you. The stones are that's from inside that is destroying you. The thorns are from outside. Because we live in a world where there's many voices and many worldviews and many opinions and all kinds of teachings. That's why Jesus taught so much, because he wanted your mind and your thinking to be right. He knew you could not manage the journey of life until your thinking got right. All right, so that's why he's had the parables. That's why you have all these conversations and discourse, and you have the narratives, and you read the gospel. So much of it is Jesus' teaching. Now, he was healing, he was doing all the other things, but the ministry of truth and teaching was important. Jesus is the one who said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, listen, when he said no, he didn't mean intellectually knowing. He meant you will encounter the truth. It will hit you. It will break your heart. It will deal with your life. That's the kind of knowing he's talking about. All right? So he was saying that journey. So here you come to one with thorns. Look at this, verse 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches choked the word and become unfruitful. Now, if you've got a little garden and you love your vegetable garden, or the thing that irritates you is the weeds. They grow better than the plant. Do you realize that? They grow faster, they're full of thorns, and they just choke your plant. All right? Don't know where they come from, but they do come, isn't it? They always come. You keep weeding it, and then they come again. You weed it in, and then they come again. That is actually what's happening in your heart. There are all kinds of thinking and fears and anxieties that come from people who speak. So be careful which voice you hear, or listening to social media, or what you're reading. And they come and they stir you up. When we use that expression, the cares of this world, when you actually look into the word, it is actually talking of a double-minded. All right? In other words, it's saying, because you are torn this way and the other way, you become anxious because you don't know which way to go, all right? And the reason is because you're choosing to listen to many voices. Everybody on social media claims to be an expert. Do you realize that? All right? Everybody talks like they are the top clinical psychologists in the world. All right? They probably got nothing. They just simply came up with an idea. But they talk that way. And then you go, but I read on the internet. That doesn't give it authority. Just because you read. Why not listen to the voice of God? Why not go back to the voice of Jesus? Why not sign up for Greenhouse? Sorry, but I keep saying that. All right? Because you want to be aligned with the truth. You want to be aligned with lives that can testify, look, I got that truth, and now I live in a healthy place. It cannot just be an intellectual truth. It must be proven by lifestyle. Does that make sense? That gives it authority. Of course, that's for Jesus. Of course, that's God, how he sent his son, Jesus, and the way he walked. He is an authority. He lived that life. He walked that life and he went through the seasons. And as I said before, when you come to Greenhouse, when you come to Connect Group or Faith Explainer, saw the ad there, they have such authority because they live that life and now they have proven it. Don't just listen to anybody because then you become anxious with many people telling you very different things. Do I do this? Do I do that? So I do this a bit and I do that a bit. And I do this a bit and go, no, that over again, I'll do this. And no. Of course you become anxious. Of course you have stress and you get caught up and you just feel so, because, and that's part of the world we live in. I recognize that. But you have to make choices because if your heart is bringing this kind of anxiety, you just cannot receive the word that God is bringing. Whether it's a Sunday morning, whether it's Greenhouse, whether it's Connect Group, you're just not receiving the word. You kind of hear it in a moment and then you lose it all because the anxiety chokes it. It's the weeds that are in the heart. He uses one more expression here and he talks about the deceitful of riches. All right? He's not saying money or riches is wrong. He's saying, be careful of the teaching that comes from riches. Because sometimes the teaching is a wrong teaching. You can be deceived by riches. And I think that three areas we're deceived. We think money means happiness. That's a deception. We think money means I've got power. That's a deception. We think if I've got money, my status and my whole image is better. That's a deception. All right? There can be people with no money and yet can be very powerful. They can cast out demons and they may not have the money. They can break and heal your broken heart. Why? It's not money. It's the authority they have by living a life true to God. And it's the anxiety and this deception, put that together and it just chokes you. And you cannot walk the way God wants. And God's saying, would you please look in the condition of your heart before you start Greenhouse, before you come on Sunday and hear the message, all right? You know, there's so many great messages. It's not a good message we're looking for. We're looking for a word that will transform our lives, all right? We're looking for a word that really breaks us out of the problem and better place. So then we come to the fourth one, is seed on good ground. That's the one we want, seed on good ground. How do we make our hearts good ground? Because if it's good ground, it'll bear 30% fruit. And those of you 30%, hey, move to 60%. Keep working on the ground. And those of you 60%, keep working on it. You bear in every area of your life, you start bearing good fruit. But there's this ground that needs to be tended and worked upon. In the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, there's a great verse 10:12. Hosea chapter 10, 12, where this is what he says. He says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. If you sow righteous things in your life, things that are good and things that are that is God is showing you, if you sow them, you reap mercy. The mercy of God, the mercy of people, the grace of God starts happening in your life. And then he says, break up your fallow ground. Now, fallow ground is a whole explanation, but in short, it's the ground that got hard, really. That was not used, that you didn't bother to break, that you just let it go anywhere, and now it's hard. And he said, break the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And I actually think we're standing at that moment, all right, as the year begins, time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness in you. Break the ground. All right. If you break the ground is moist and the ground is soft, the ground will embrace the seed, becomes an implanted seed. It will keep the seed. There's no stones, there's no weeds. You keep the ground, there's no hardness. What happens? It begins to grow. And if you're patient and let it grow and you still nurture that heart, you nurture the earth, you continue to care for it and you love it and you take care of it, it will become a tree. And one day that tree will bear fruit and it will bear good fruit because you took care of the ground. No point yelling at the fruit. If the fruit is sour, then why is it sour fruit? You didn't take care of the ground. So now your life shows the fruit that are bad fruit. And you say, why there's so much of bad fruit? I pray and pray and pray and then God, don't be religious, all right? Don't be religious. There's a pattern here that you have to follow. These are kingdom patterns. Don't make up your own pattern, all right? You have to till the ground. The seed's good, but is the earth good? What's the condition of your heart? Now you may ask, what can we do for our heart? Well, there's so much we do. There's actually, again, back to greenhouse. The greenhouse course that I teach actually is called Spiritual Disciplines. And the moment we see discipline, we don't do the course. So most of you didn't sign up for the course, all right? Like discipline, I don't want discipline. Actually, it's quite good because it's teaching you patterns of living, of daily patterns of coming to the presence of God, hearing the Word of God, or worshipping, whether it's personally between you or God, or patterns on how you serve other people, how you come and serve, how you come and give, how you come and care, how you... All these patterns is actually breaking the hard ground, all right? Now you go, don't want to serve. Why should I serve? Jesus served. All right? He bent on his knees, put a towel around, washed his disciples' feet. He was not afraid to serve. Service doesn't mean you are a weak person. Service means you... You know, I think many people serve because they think Kingdom City needs us, so we serve. All right? No, you're actually serving to break the hard ground. All right? With a spirit of humility, with a meekness, you are serving. All right, you're not serving because I'm so good at this. No, you're serving because you go, I'm going to serve the body of Christ and I'm going to let that break the hard ground and keep me in a rise. Every seed that comes, it grows, it bears fruit. My children do well. All right, my grandchildren do well. I see God blessing them. And it's true. The favor and the fruitfulness is generational. All right, I really feel you need to understand that. You're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it. If you work with your anger, it will bless your children. If you work with your hurt, it will bless your children. If you say, I'm going to deal, I know something happened to me when I was young and I've hidden it and I don't want... If you work with it, it's painful and I recognize your pain. But if you choose to work with it, the fruitfulness will bless the generations. All right, come, let's stand as the worship team comes. We're going to take a moment to pray for your heart. I don't know which is the condition of your heart. For some of us, we may have all three. It's possible to be so hurt and yet have stony places and yet have thorns. And we've got a bit of work to do. How are you going to do that? All right? What we are saying is, hey, go to Connect Group. That's where the connection, the community, because community is needed to help you. What we're saying is sign up for Greenhouse and the courses can help you. You don't know which one, talk to the pastors there. They can actually guide you through that process. What we're saying, serve in the house of God because they begin to break my heart and it becomes soft and becomes ready for the implanted Word of God. All right, our worship team is going to lead us in the song about your heart. Just close your eyes. Let God deal with your heart. Just a moment with the Holy Spirit. Only you know where your heart is. Let the Lord talk to you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Moment. Just give him your heart. Just open your heart. I'm not asking you to make this public. I'm just saying, you and God, yes, you and God. Maybe some things are spoken of. You go, that's me, God. I can see the shallowness. I kind of have all the right Christian things, but for us to look deeper, there's issues with anger and addictive behavior and hurts that I've never shown, never brought to you. But today, God, I open my heart. I'm so anxious about my future. I'm anxious about money. I'm anxious about so many things. They're just choking me, God. Why don't you just take your heart and bring it to God? Say, I give you my heart. Oh God, would you make this a heart that is meek, a heart that is soft, a heart that is receptive, so that when the promises come, when the word of God comes, when the truth comes, my heart will receive it as an implanted word, and I will hold it through the seasons and not give up on it, not get angry about it, but just hold it until it bears fruit, until my life, my marriage, my children, my ministry, my job, my finances, the things that are so precious to you begins to bear fruit. All right, this is the sign. If that area is not bearing fruit, it means you're not holding that revelation. You're not holding that seed. Something is causing you to just give up in that area. So I pray now that the Spirit of God may come upon you, that God may do now through this teaching, just touch and soften our hearts. I pray, God, bring an anointing to heal your broken heart. I'm so sorry these things happened to you. It has happened to me. But your God is coming to heal it now. Maybe many years ago, your heart broke. Many years ago, something happened so painful and you could not understand it. Your mind is so confused about it. Today, I pray for an anointing to heal your broken life, your broken heart, your broken marriage, your broken children. Let something greater than you, that transcends you, that is divine and eternal, that is almighty, that is God through Jesus Christ, now come upon you. This great love and power, and bring healing to you and your bloodline, and turn the heart of your children that they may walk in the ways of God in righteousness. I pray that you will search your heart, and today in this moment you will recognize the stones in your heart, and you go, God, I have to acknowledge I struggle, I am angry, I gossip, I turn around, I hit back at people. Here, God, let me take that stone, let me take that hardness, let me take that area I was avoiding for so long and would not acknowledge. Today I acknowledge, I take it to the cross and I put it there, and I take your life, God. And today I want to break the anxiety. Those of you who are anxious, I think there's some people here who are almost depressed. Life has been so anxious for you. But I take authority in the name of Jesus, and I break that spirit of heaviness. I can see many of you lifting up your hands because you recognize that's what's happening in your life. And the enemy is trying to choke the very answer you're looking for. But now we know the ways of God. So with the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, I break that stronghold of fear and anxiety. I break panic attacks. I come against depression in the name of Jesus. I set you free from patterns of depression in your family in the name of Jesus. I break anxiety over health and sickness in the name of Jesus. I break the strongholds of fear over finances and the future. Be set free as you bring your heart to God. I break that anxiety, that cares of the world, that deception, and release you, and release you. I pray today, would you pray with me as we commit our lives to being a heart that is so receptive. God, again and again, let me break the fallow ground, the harder. Let it be soft and moist. Let my heart be so receptive. whether it's Sunday, whether it's Connect Group, whether it's Greenhouse, prepare me, God, to receive the word that I can plant it so deep and so well, and I can produce fruit, a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And there's fruit you're looking for in different areas of your life. Here's the strategy of the kingdom. It always works. I promise you that if you will implant the word in good soil, it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. You will see it in your marriage, your children, your generations. It will bear fruit. I release that word upon you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.